From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Doug Nadvornik. This is March 10th, 2026. On today's program, bill signing season has begun for Washington's governor. We'll tell you about two new laws that originated in Northeast Washington. The future of ambulance service in parts of Stevens County is unclear. The financials aren't working out. The Spokane City Council is changing its rules regarding public input. Six Inland Northwest college basketball teams still have dreams of dancing. And in our interview segment, Jenny Graham has represented Northwest Spokane County in the State House of Representatives for 8 years. She's not seeking re-election. SPR's Owen Henderson talks with her about why and about her legacy as this legislative session approaches its end. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. The Spokane City Council is changing its rules to make it easier for constituents to be part of the decision-making process. As SBR's Eliza Bellingham reports, the rule changes came on the same night as the council honored one of its most dedicated and sometimes overlooked weekly attendees.
Council meetings will soon start with express lane testimonies. That is, someone can speak for 3 minutes at the top of the hour about anything on that night's agenda, then waive their right to any other comments and leave. Council members believed that will make it easier for busy people to still get their voices heard. Council will also space out hearings so that the public has a chance to testify on any amendments days before the council is set to vote. The council passed a whole series of convoluted rule changes unanimously. Multiple members, including Michael Cathcart, commented on the compromise each council member made to finalize something he believes will be good for the public.
And I think this is a meaningful change that gives us the ability to take everything in before really truly being forced to make up our minds on a number of items.
But the evening started with an unusual and touching moment. Council President Betsy Wilkerson read a salutation to John Alder, a regular attendee who died at the end of February. Alder testified most Monday nights, plus kept tabs on lots of other public meetings. His pastor received the salutation on Alder's behalf. He said, right now it isn't clear who will claim Alder's body, but he was thrilled there were so many in the chambers who would claim Alder as one of their own. I'm Eliza Billingham reporting.
Washington Governor Bob Ferguson has begun a bill-signing spree as lawmakers send him waves of legislation before adjourning on Thursday. Two bills were sponsored by 7th District House members Andrew Engel and Hunter Abel. Engel's legislation gives mid-level health providers more authority to oversee radiological procedures so the doctors don't have to be present. Ferguson says the bill will help rural patients receive easier access to things such as MRIs.
The law currently requires supervision from a physician for many radiologic procedures involving injections. House Bill 2113 expands the types of licensed professionals who can supervise these important procedures and allows for virtual supervision.
That gives physician assistants and nurse practitioners authority they didn't have before. Representative Hunter Abel's bill would reconfigure the membership of the state's Veteran Affairs Advisory Committee to include 4 at-large members. The goal is to ensure a wider range of veterans and families get to serve, including Native American and female veterans. Washington's newest state Supreme Court justice is Seattle lawyer Theo Angelis. Angelis was named by Governor Ferguson yesterday to fill the vacancy left when Justice Barbara Madsen leaves the court next month. Angelis works for the firm K&L Gates. He specializes in intellectual property law, representing tech firms in the U.S. and China, mostly in federal court. Ferguson says Angelis will become the court's first justice of Middle Eastern descent. Angelis says his father came from Greece, his mother's family from Turkey. He says they taught him that public service is important.
I do have a deep sense of justice and the rule of law because of my family history, but it's informed by so many things that I've done. And so I'm so pleased with the diversity that's within this court of experience and background, and I think that I hope to contribute to it.
Angelis will take his seat on the bench in early April. Madsen is retiring after 33 years on the bench. According to Washington state courts, she was the third woman to serve on the Washington Supreme Court and the first to be elected. The Stevens County ambulance system continues to face financial pains. SPR's rural reporter and Murrow News fellow Monica Carrillo-Casas has more.
The county's agencies have described the EMS system as a patchwork of coordinated services. They include Chihuahua Rural Ambulance, Deer Park Ambulance, and the Stevens County Sheriff's Ambulance. They all bring a bit of money to the table, but it's not enough. There is no dedicated funding for their services. Earlier this year, Deer Park Ambulance posted on Facebook hoping community members would donate to help with ambulance repair costs. Director of Operations Amber Jones says the ambulance service spent $18,000 just to replace an engine. Buying a new ambulance, Jones says, is out of the question. In addition, over the last 2 years, she says supplies have gone up almost 20%, driven in part by tariffs. Despite financial pressures, Jones says there are no changes to the county's EMS system for the time being. Jones and multiple representatives of the county services are looking for a more stable funding source. She has been in contact with the county's representatives, she says, and even approached state legislators for potential funding. But the future is still unclear. The Stevens County commissioners did not respond to several requests for comment on the issue. I'm Monica Carrillo Casas, reporting.
Six Inland Northwest College basketball teams are still alive in their respective conference tournaments. The men's and women's teams from Gonzaga, Eastern Washington, and Idaho all won their respective games yesterday. In Las Vegas, the Gonzaga men beat Oregon State 65-56 to reach the final of the West Coast Conference. Tonight, the Bulldogs will play Santa Clara, which beat the Zags' big rival St. Mary's last night. Tip-off at 6 o'clock. The Gonzaga women are also in the conference final. The Zags thumped Santa Clara 88-60 to qualify for the right to play Oregon State. Game time today, 1 o'clock. The winner goes to the NCAA tournament. In Boise, the Eastern Washington men jumped to a big halftime lead and held on to beat Weber State 84-79. Eastern has advanced to the Big Sky semifinals to play Idaho. Game time is 8:30 p.m. The winner will play the winner of tonight's Montana-Portland State game in the final tomorrow night. And the Eastern women came from behind in the final quarter to upset Northern Colorado, 55-53. The Eagles will play the second seed Montana State today at 1:30 in the semifinal. In the other semifinal is the Big Sky's top seed, Idaho, which will play Sacramento State this morning at 11. Jenny Graham has served as one of Spokane County's legislators for the last 8 years. Last month, she announced she won't be seeking another term in the Washington State House of Representatives. SBR's Owen Henderson spoke with her about her tenure representing District 6 in Olympia.
Public safety and victim advocacy have been some of your biggest focuses during your time as a lawmaker, and I know we're still in the middle of a rather contentious legislative session, but as you start to look back at the rest of your work in Olympia, what are you most proud of?
Well, I believe that my legacy will be, and already is, that I do stand up for the voice of crime victims. What I've seen in the last 8 years that I've been there, unfortunately, is that it is a toxic work environment, not only for lawmakers like me, but for crime victims. Oftentimes, I've watched them be silenced, censored, shamed, and totally looked over regarding different policy. It does take somebody really strong to push back, especially when you're in the minority, to say we need to be able to hear from everybody. And if I've done nothing else in my entire time that I've been there, I have made sure that crime victims were being heard even when they were being silenced.
You know, you've mentioned a sort of toxic environment, and I'm curious if that was one of the factors that led you to not seek another term.
That is partially part of it. The problem that I'm seeing is the unwillingness to look at or accept that there are individuals that are dangerous. It's not being taken seriously in this state. And, you know, all you have to do is watch committee hearings, watch the floor debates, watch the policy that's coming out of the legislature. Look at the bills that I have introduced that have not even received a hearing, that are reasonable when we're talking about keeping people safe, which is something that all of us want. And the number one thing I believe that is expected of us is to take those things into consideration fairly. And given the environment that's in the legislature right now, it is extraordinarily unbalanced. If we're going to pass these bills, shouldn't we make sure that we have some idea of what it's going to look like on the other side? Is it fair policy that's being passed? The people that are expected to follow it, are they going to be able to follow it? Or is this going to be, we're going to pass this legislation, and if you don't follow it, we're just going to fine you until you do. And they're not able to do it because it's not feasible to do it to begin with. And then we're back the next session and we're trying to fix a problem that we created because the bill wasn't fully worked in the best way that I feel that it should have been.
You know, I know you have a legislative session to finish first, but do you have any ideas about what might be coming after you leave Olympia? Do you have any plans to stay involved in policymaking?
In a roundabout way, yes. Again, this is a path that I've been on, and I was fortunate that the people trusted me to do this. There's more than one way to drive policy, and I am absolutely on that path. I'm doing things in a little bit different way. I can't go into details right now, but I will definitely be involved. It will just be in a little bit different way than it has been. I'm not done. Not by a long shot.
Well, Representative Jenny Graham, thank you so much for taking some time out of a busy legislative session to speak with me this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
SBR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting was contributed by Eliza Billingham, Monica Carrillo-Casas, Owen Henderson, and me, Doug Nadvornik. Eliza Billingham provided online support. Thank you for listening. This is SBR News.